Okay, everybody, you know it's time. It's time once again. Thank you for joining us. It's 8:15 in LA, it's 5:15 in Berlin, and it's time for the Squirrel News Podcast. We are the podcast about solutions journalism based on the Squirrel News app, which you can find at squirrel-news.net. This is the show all about what's right with the world. It's all about what's working. And you don't hear enough about what's working. And that's where the Squirrel News app comes in. It's an app that curates solutions journalism, amazing stories from around the world. I'm Ed Krasnick, a Jew in LA. My partner's Jonathan Vitter, a German journalist in Berlin. And this is the first show where a Jew and a German come together to solve the world's problems. It's the first and the only one. And it's part of a movement. I feel it. And today, we have, we always have the news makers. We have people who are innovating and who are creating solutions all over the world. And today's no exception, because we have a gentleman who has created a walking club, a walking organization to deal with all kinds of issues. Everyday issues, mental health issues, all kinds of things, create community. His name is Scott Johnson, and we're going to talk to him in just a second about the Proper Blokes Club, which is a walking organization. Walking can change your life by yourself, with other people. It's a great way to connect. It's a great way to deal with emotions. It's a great way to deal with anxiety. We're going to find out all about it. We've had other shows on walking before, one here in LA, and now we're walking is going to change the world. We're on a walk. We're on a walkabout today. My partner is a gentleman who, what can I say? He created the Squirrel News app and put all this together to curate the most amazing stories in the world. And his name is Jonathan Vitter. Jonathan, what is it that created this interest in walking, and how did you choose this story for today?
Yeah, so hi Ed. As you said, we already had a story recently, a show, a podcast episode on walking, about someone in LA who had created an app pairing individuals to walk together. And unfortunately, as we came to know, the app didn't exist anymore. It didn't work. It had a commercial approach, and it didn't work out in the end. There was not enough investment, and kind of a sad but usual startup story. And I didn't want to believe that this is just the end of such an amazing idea, right? It was one of the problems tackled was loneliness. Another one is also obesity and all the health stuff connected. So walking has multiple benefits, and people don't get out enough on the streets. They don't walk enough. Also during walking, they don't talk enough when they walk alone. So there's a huge potential for modern societies. And I thought, maybe we even said it in the show, well, I think even if this project is not going to work for now, someone somewhere else is going to do that. And maybe it has to be a non-commercial approach. Maybe it has to be another approach. And at the time, we didn't think that something like that's going to happen just a few weeks later, right? But now, as it turns out, Scott, who is here with us today, he just founded something similar, but not exactly the same thing, but something similar with the non-commercial approach, just not pairing two individuals, but starting whole walking groups with probably unlimited numbers of participants. He can explain to us right away. And that's why I was so happy to see that. And I thought maybe this is now the working approach to make that happen, all over the world. I don't know, but in many cities. It's already starting in many cities in the UK. I'm very curious to hear from him how exactly this is happening, this is working. And very much looking forward.
Fantastic. Well, there was a story in The Guardian. There was a story in other papers, other news outlets around the world. And our guest is with us right now. And I'm glad, I'm glad you're taking a break from walking at the moment, but I know there's walking coming very soon. Scott Johnson. Scott, first of all, welcome to the show, and we're happy to have you. How did this all come to be? What led you to start thinking about walking and how that would be something that where people would join you?
Well, it first started when I was going through my own issues at the time, sort of 2015 or so, I reckon. I reached out to get some local support from the NHS, which is National Health Service here in the UK. And I got some support there, and it only lasted about 8 weeks. And then it was basically back out into the community and just get on with your life, really. And it wasn't a sustained amount of sort of support you was getting, really. So it took a few years for me to get out of the rut that I was in at the time, and I needed to find something that was going to maintain that positive feeling all the time. And I'm not a big exercise buff. I don't go to the gym and stuff like that. So I needed to find an entry level exercise for me to get involved in. And I thought walking was a great one to do. And after doing a long walk, your waist felt really good afterwards. And then basically the group started off the back of that, really. I started a Facebook page, just putting up walks that I was doing, and I was talking about some of the things that I'd been through in the past and sort of how I was managing it, and see if that can resonate with anybody else. And then we had a bit of a gap in lockdowns where we could meet other people. I put in a local Facebook group about what I was gonna do, and one lad turned up on the first ever walk. Which I could have been a bit disheartened with at first, but after that walk, it was amazing. I just thought this is something that we both needed at that time, and we felt really good after it. So we posted a picture up on Facebook, and then the next week, two new lads turned up, and then two more the week after that. And it started off with me just doing a walk and talk on my own, basically, to one lad joining the first ever group, to now, I think we've got around 200 lads throughout the six walks that we do a week here in London.
Amazing. And really, it's, there's walking, but then the talking part of it and connecting and community that comes about is really powerful, because, I was reading that people become friends, they become involved in each other's lives. Sometimes they check in with each other. How are you doing? What's going on? So can you talk about that and some of the things that kind of you talk about on the walks?
Yeah, definitely. So the one of the great things that's come off the back of this walk is, as you said, the friendships that have come off of it. And a lot of these lads would have never met each other normally, because their social circles might not have mixed. But looking back, it had been a real miss, because some people have met really, really good lifelong friends from the group. Some have been to each other's weddings, or all their families have met and stuff like birthday parties and things like that. I usually meet with a few of the lads and their kids, because we've got kids similar ages. So that's really good. And the stuff we talk about on the walks itself, it's just an open, safe, positive environment. You can talk about anything. And that might be, I don't know, from the latest football results on the weekend, or where you're going this weekend, to if you're feeling really down and low about what work situation. So all those types of conversations are all met with the same result. And that's just a listening ear that's not going to judge you.
Yeah, is it called the Proper Blokes Club?
Yeah.
And so women, they get their own thing, but men, it's more difficult for men to connect just with each other. Yeah. And so that's kind of the focus here. Do you think if there were women, it would be a different experience?
100%, yeah. And this is the one of the things that we was challenged on at the very beginning of starting this program, was why aren't women allowed to come to it? And to be fair, women are one of our biggest supporters in terms of all of our social media pages, most of the comments and stuff like that from women that are referring their partners down to us and stuff like that. But in terms of the physical, actually, the walk we do itself, I think a lot of lads or men find it hard to talk to women about their problems, because of the general stereotypical thing that the man has to be the breadwinner of the house and he's not allowed to show no emotions. I think a lot of that's still going on. And then we put a vote out to the group because obviously it was brought up quite a lot at the very beginning, and it was very much unanimous that we wouldn't really open up as much as we would in a mixed environment. So that just backed up the case why we needed to just keep it as men only. But once we talked to people about the reasons why it's only for men, they say, okay, fair enough, that makes sense. And it's a real positive thing with them.
Yeah.
And there are clubs for women too right now, right?
Yeah, there's loads. Yeah, that's one of the good things that have come off the back of this group. What I realise is some people ask me, oh, is there a women's version of this group? And majority of the areas that we're in, there are spin-off groups of what we've done and off the back of what we've done, basically, of a women's group. So that's always something that I'm really proud of, that it's inspiring other people to start up other community groups within their areas to make a positive impact.
What happens, how do you introduce, like, what people are going to talk about, or is it kind of informal? Like, what's the structure of it? How's it put together, and are there different geographic areas and topics and things, or how do you inspire people to talk about things that are hard to talk about?
Yeah, so the one thing I'm really proud of what we do, and especially all the walk leaders have adopted now as well since we started, is just creating that really relaxed, positive environment. So when these lads come onto these walks, especially the new ones, after about 10, 15 minutes of being within the environment, they know they could talk about anything, and that fear of judgment is taken away. But how we usually do it week on week is there's no topic or anything like that. It's literally we meet up, we wait for everyone to get there, and then we just start our walk. And the majority of the time, there's probably about 100 meter distance between the first and the last person. And then what it is, you peel off into little groups of two or three. So you're having multiple small conversations throughout. So it ain't a situation where we're all together and then one person tells his story why he's there and then we pass it on and someone else does it. It's a very relaxed, chilled out atmosphere. So that's how we do it.
So it's basically, can you tell us why you're here? What brought you here today?
That's what eventually happens. But what we tend to do, especially with the new guys, is that when they come and we start walking, so say, for instance, I end up walking with one of the new guys, we just start off with some general, just very, very easy questions, like, how's your day been? Like, oh, what do you do for work? What team do you support? Are you into sport or whatever? Do you know what I mean? So it's a very, very, very general, calm conversation. And then you can sort of judge the room a little bit there, see how they react to those types of questions. And then you can maybe say, oh, what brought you here? How did you find out about the group? And then you're slowly but surely getting to the reason why they come.
And then how did these check-in groups start? Like these WhatsApp, how's your day going today? How did that start?
Yeah, so what we wanted to try and do, we wanted to try and replicate that safe, positive environment to talk about what you need to talk about away from the walks as well. So, for example, if you came to Greenwich walk on a Monday and there's nothing you need to really talk about that's going on in your life that's negative at that time, I still want people to come to the walks. I think it's really positive. I mean, I think it's really good to have positive people on the walks as well. But then if Tuesday comes along and something happens at work, like we all know that things happen randomly, we don't pick when we're going to have a bad day. So if Tuesday something happens and then all of a sudden you can put that in the WhatsApp group, say, lads, look, I'm having a bit of a rough day, and then the rest of the lads will rally around him, offer phone calls, maybe go out for a one-to-one walk and things like that. So it's not just on the walk where you get that support. It's actually seven days a year, all year round, that you can get that support as well.
Could you train people in other communities, other areas, other countries to do this? And how would you do that?
So it's funny enough to say that, actually, because since that Guardian article went out, obviously that reached a lot bigger audience for us, and we were sort of inundated with messages and people wanting to join the groups and saying, is there one in Manchester, Newcastle, like other big cities in the UK? But then also we had a lot of people from other countries, one from South Africa, Australia, France, that was interested in starting ones up abroad and stuff. And I've actually had a really good conversation with a guy from South Africa. He's based in Johannesburg. And he seems really keen on starting one there. So basically all we do is we just lend our name to it and they obviously run with it there. But we talk with them beforehand how we do it. Obviously, we can't expect them to come away to UK to do a couple of walks with us and see how we do it. So I'll just talk them through it, really.
I feel something is coming, and I think it's going to be the Worldwide Walking Conference. And it's going to be a big event where you're going to have people from all over the world. They're going to meet, and then it's going to, people are going to break off into groups and things like that. But it's going to be, it's going to be a worldwide conference. I feel like that's going to happen. Yeah. And Jonathan and I are going to go there, and we're going to, we can't go unless we have special sweatshirts or jackets.
The question is it going to be a conference, or is it going to be something else, rather a walk, right?
Walkathon.
Marathon.
Walkathon. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be a walkathon. Well, all over the world, there are going to be walkathons. I don't know what it's going to be going, but how are you going to, is this something that could be an organization, a nonprofit business, a thing like that? Could it take on that type of approach?
Definitely. Yep. So we've actually recently registered as a community interest company. We've done that about 4 weeks ago. So that basically allows me to, it's actually just a normal limited company now, but with community interest, and we can apply for funding and grants and stuff like that. So we can, because I'm in the transition process of turning this into sort of my full-time job, and then I can really push these walks out to so many more places. So at the moment, I'm still working and doing this alongside it, and this actually takes up more time than my paid work. So I'm in that transition process at the moment, and I'm hoping over the next sort of like 3 to 4 months, I would fully have transitioned into just managing this business and just getting more men walking and talking.
So you're gonna transition, or you are transitioning already. And you call it the Proper Blokes Club because what you're saying to the world is this is casual. This is like something that you can relax. You can be yourself. There's no mandate in terms of what kind of person could join this. It's for all men, types of men.
Absolutely, everybody. We've had everybody through the doors, from doctors to head teachers to people that are not working at the moment, that people are really well off, people that don't have anything, all races, religions, sexual orientations, everything. We've had everyone through the door, and this is a real open space for any man, anywhere that wants to come. But what I've realized as well, mental health don't discriminate. It doesn't matter how much money you've got in the bank account or what job you hold. It can affect anybody. And having this as an outlet for some people, it's really affecting people in a positive way.
Well, you know, the I think we talked about this before, Jonathan, on the show, is that the Surgeon General of the United States actually said that loneliness is a public health issue. And it's one of the number one. It's very high on the list of public health issues in the world. Loneliness. So the effects, the physical effects and the emotional effects of loneliness are devastating to people. And this is one way to solve and deal with this issue, is just connecting. And I think as the world has gone inside more based on the pandemic, it's easy to get lost in the habit of not seeing people and not connecting with people. That's all I have to say. I'll see you at the walkathon.
I wanted to say, don't you have the feeling that it might be much easier to talk about deep emotional issues when you walk compared to being, I don't know, on the phone in a room just sitting? Because when you walk so often, it just goes easily and naturally.
Definitely. Funny to say that, actually. I had a conversation with a psychologist, and they were saying there was something behind opening up and walking that was working together, and it's a fact that you don't have eye contact. So you don't have that awkward feeling when you're looking in someone's eyes, you tell them your deepest thoughts, and then you think, oh God, what are they going to say? But because you're walking, you have to keep your eyes facing forward. So I never really thought about that at first, but obviously when I heard it, I thought, yeah, that does make a lot of sense.
Oh, that's interesting. The combination of exercise, moving your heart, moving your breathing, and also not being forced to look at each other directly, look in the eye. That is amazing. That gives you license to talk about all kinds of things.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, when they go into sort of a counseling environment, I guess it's the same in your countries as well, that it's very generalized in a sit round in a circle sort of situation. It's probably quite hostile straight away. And when you're meant to be sort of quite relaxed and calm to be talking about your problems, but I find that personally myself, hence one of the reasons why I set this up, that I couldn't open up in that type of environment.
People talk differently. They talk differently when you're, that's why barbershops in this country or different community places, coffee shops, things like that, when they're doing other things, it's easier to open up and it's more natural to talk. Mm. When you go, I always say the problem with therapy, not that therapy is not important and it's not great, but the main issue with it is you go to an office. I don't live in an office. Mm. The problem is you have to go to where people live and how they live. And that kind of relationship is really important. And I think we're changing the definition of what therapy is. You know, that therapy can be as simple as listening, actually listening to somebody, empathetic listening and opening up. And that we all have those skills inside of us to do those things. We just don't get a chance to practice it, or we don't practice it. And here's a chance to practice it when you go on a walk.
Yeah, and I think it's also much, much easier to find solutions for your problems, right, when you walk, right? I mean, sometimes maybe you know that you have your inner dialogue and you're at home, you're sitting and it's turning and turning. You're half aware and you can't really get rid of it. And then you go out to some sports, for example, workout, jogging. And then it suddenly disappears with like step after step. And I think walking is very, very similar. So not only you have the chance to open up and talk about it, which already like makes you aware of problems, but also of the situation, but like you do the workout immediately, apparently. So you have the raising the problem and solving it, because I think it's just, yeah, with all the oxygen you get, breathing, you're just, your head is much faster. So trying.
Well, years ago and throughout history, you know, famous people, thinkers, all kinds of you know, leaders, they would actually go on a walk to deal with the biggest problems in the world. They take a walk, and they called it a constitutional.
Really?
And say, I'm going out for my constitutional. Abraham Lincoln in the United States, you know, he had to make decisions about the Civil War, and he would take a walk before he would make a decision, and he would take a walk with other people. So this was like built into the fabric of the entire world. The greatest, Albert Einstein, the greatest thinkers in the world, would take walks to figure out different issues in their lives, different problems they were trying to solve. So it's been going on for a long time. The thing is, with COVID and with some of the isolation of society, we've gotten away from the things that really help us. Now, being conscious about it, because there is something about actually saying, I'm going to take a walk, I'm going to be part of this proper blokes club, and we're going to do this at a certain time or a certain place. Making things conscious is such a great way to take care of your mental health. It's such a, and it's important. But if you don't make time for it consciously, you really, you know, in today's world, it's really easy to fall asleep. It's easy to hide. It's easy to disconnect from the things that you need most. I'm saying that for me. Everybody else is fine. This is just my problem.
It's definitely true. But I think in a way, the pandemic was also also something that gave us back or even intensified the walks, because it was kind of the only thing you could do, right? I remember when I met up with friends in the park in winter when it was freezing cold and we were just walking around because there's no way to, no place to go inside. There are always those infection risks and so on. So, and you also said it, Scott, right? You started it during the pandemic because there was, you needed some, it was the only possibility to meet up with someone. Yeah. And now it kind of made us conscious about the potential of walking.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Something.
Yeah, a lot of people within the group, right? Like, that they probably never hot. They used to drive everywhere. They used to go for maybe their 20-minute run, and that was it. So they didn't even think about walking as a real positive thing to introduce into their life. And a lot of the lads have really taken it on board now. And they, even when they're not away from, even when they're away from the group, sorry, they tend to go out for a little 20-minute walk or half an hour walk. Or I get pictures sent to me all the time when they're in the mountains somewhere or by the seaside or the beach or wherever, walking, and they're loving life. So yeah, walking is so important.
Scott, you, if you don't mind my asking, it was written about in the article. What started you doing this is that you had a custody battle with your ex-wife, and you had this was ongoing for a long time. Mm-hmm. How has walking changed your situation? Has it helped the situation with your kids and your ex-wife?
Well, that situation there, it built up a lot of anger and animosity between both of us and stuff like that. So, like you said a moment ago, walking is great for thinking time. So when I was used to sit indoors and I used to think about, I'm going through court year after year trying to see my kids, and it was really difficult just sitting there just thinking about it and letting my mind just run wild of it. But I sort of know the signs now when I'm starting to get a little bit on the edge, and then I'll go out and have a walk. And I just said it makes you think clearer, and that's definitely the one that's helped me. And a lot of lads that I deal with, they go through the same situation. So they would get really angry with themselves, so they start sitting down, and then obviously all them problems don't go away. They don't go away when you walk, don't get me wrong, but you're definitely going to think a lot more clearer about a positive outcome whilst being out, breathing some fresh air, and going for a walk rather than sitting indoors. But yeah, for my own personal situation, it definitely helped me, because I was in a real dark place of it. And getting out and having a positive self-talk and stuff like that got me out the door and got me thinking more positively about things that was going to be happening in the future rather than thinking about the present, which wasn't great at the time.
Yeah, that's so it's connected you to a lot of different kinds of people and changed the way that you're thinking, or made you aware of how you think, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Where can we learn more about the Proper Blokes Club and about some of the things that you're doing, some of the things that are going on?
So we have our website, which is theproperblokesclub.co.uk. Which is basically tells all the information of the walks and stuff that we're doing. But we're very active on social media as well. So we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So we're very visual about what we do as well. So we're always posting pictures up of the groups and the walks themselves, and posting up information about new walks and stuff like that. So yeah, they're the places to find out about what we're doing. So if you just type it into any of those social media platforms, the Proper Blokes Club, they'll come up and show you everything that we're doing at the moment.
Fantastic. I wonder, Jonathan, do you think we should connect Scott with Chuck McCarthy in L.A., the founder of the People Walkers?
Why not? I think that would be a good idea, yeah.
I think we should do that. He's a really interesting guy who just started people walking and had a, you know, had some funding and was starting to do an organization that was growing. And then he had a kid. He has a young son. And he kind of went away from it a little bit, but really talks a lot about, you know, the power of the walk and how he was able to connect with people differently. And he just put a handwritten sign up on a tree and did that kind of marketing. Wow. And so this became a thing, people walking. I think it's a whole art form. I think it's a whole thing. We're going to find out more about it. And, you know, we'd love to get, if you have any videos or anything that you do of people walking and things like that, we should definitely loop to it on the Squirrel News app and let people know more about this as we go on here. Yeah, we should definitely do that. So it's a pleasure. How nice to meet you, and congratulations on what you're doing. You're really affecting people's lives.
I really appreciate you having me and giving me this platform to spread the word a little bit more.
Absolutely, absolutely. Jonathan, anything before we wrap up here?
Not very much. I also, thanks a lot also from my side. And I, as you said, it really seems to become a global movement, right? And people interested in all kinds of countries. And very curious how this is going to develop further. Good luck, definitely.
Thank you.
And very cool.
Fantastic. The Proper Blokes Club, in the UK. And Scott Johnson, pleasure to have you here. Please come back. And you got me to want to walk. But it's not like I love walking and talking on the phone. Like with I'll get on a phone call and I'll walk on the beach or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I think in person, I think it's a big thing to connect in person.
Definitely.
So
if you're
ever
in London, you're more than welcome to come and join one of them.
I'm planning to do that. I absolutely will. Definitely. I'm not going to walk from here, from the US, because I'll drown.
That'd be a commitment, that would be.
It'd be a big commitment, and I would have to learn. But what a great story. But I will. And thank you so much. And thanks for listening to the Squirrel News podcast. You can find out stories like this with Scott Johnson and stories from all over the world, because every day, people are working and finding solutions to all kinds of social issues, including walking, mental health, all kinds of things, the environment, politics, social change. It's all happening at squirrel-news.net. This is where you get all the stories. They're curated for you by Jonathan Vitter and his team, and they do an amazing job. And just what's right with the world. Start thinking about that things are looking up. Look for the good and you'll find it. So squirrel-news.net, go there. Keep listening to the show. Give us a review. Find us wherever you get your podcasts. And keep walking. And we will see you next time. I'm Ed Krasnick for Jonathan Vitter. See you next time on Squirrel News Podcast.